Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Between World War II and 2011, as many as 100,000 service members were less than honorably discharged for being gay. It was, Dave Phillips writes in the New York Times, a kind of scarlet letter that barred them from any benefits and scarred their civilian lives. Now, 4 years after the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, gay vets are requesting an upgrade to their status. A bill in Congress would restore benefits to nearly all of them, but the bill has been stalled since 2013, and the road to restitution for many discharged veterans has not been easy. Dave Phillips is military correspondent for the New York Times and wrote about the issue. And Dave, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So you talked to several former service members who had been less than honorably discharged or discharged as a Class II homosexual. Now, what did that mean for them?
It essentially means that you're kicked out of the Army or whatever service you serve in. And when that happens, there's a lot of things that can affect you for the rest of your life. The most important of them is that you are then barred from getting veterans benefits in almost all cases. Health care, help with loans, education benefits, all the things that we as a society have set up to help people transition from the military, they don't get. And for a lot of them, that affected them when they were kicked out when they were younger. But then now, decades later, again, as they maybe start to need care from the VA, affects them again.
And in their personal civilian lives, some of those effects went even more deep. What are some of those cases?
Well, you know, what was really striking for me when I began speaking to these folks, some of whom were kicked out in the 50s and early 60s, was that, you know, oftentimes they were growing up in pretty conservative rural places, and they were joining the military not knowing necessarily that they were gay, and a lot of times had their first gay experiences in the military. And so, you know, all of a sudden they're going through this very perplexing self-discovery, and at that point they get essentially prosecuted for it. I mean, they were kicked out. They weren't charged with crimes, but they were shunned. They were sent away. They were often outed by the government to their family and communities, and they had their identity as a young service member stripped from them. And then they went home to areas where oftentimes they were required to show employers their military records, which, you know, said right on them that they had been kicked out for being gay. So it was a really hard thing for a lot of people to get over. And so many I talked to just buried it in various ways and tried to move on and never speak of it again.
Many have passed away in this day and age, but still, how many service members are potentially eligible to get their discharge status upgraded?
We really don't know how many over the decades were kicked out in this way. There are some pretty good estimates that put it at somewhere around 100 to 120,000. It may be more. We just don't know because the record keeping was not very good, and no one has really tried to dig back deep into it.
How has the U.S. military's punishment or treatment of homosexuality changed over the years, you know, going back to the beginning of the Republic?
Well, you know, what's astounding is that homosexual acts have always been barred by the United States military. There are court-martial documents that are signed by General George Washington that show he kicked a young officer out for being gay and literally had him drummed out of the fort, followed by a fife and drum troop. And for generations afterwards, it was treated as a misconduct offense, something that you could be court-martialed for or kicked out of the service for. And then right around World War II, the military changed how it viewed homosexuality and started looking at it instead of as a crime or a misdeed. They started viewing it as almost like an innate defect, something that they could screen for in the same way they screen for flat feet or bad vision and try and keep out of the force. Now, effectively, it was the same thing. If you were gay, you were not allowed to serve. You were often drummed out in very unpleasant ways. But people were no longer court-martialed for it. Instead, they got these quick discharges that would be either undesirable, is what they called it, an undesirable discharge, or a less than honorable discharge. But the effect was the same. They were out of their chosen career, and they were often stripped of their benefits.
And then after the war and the charged environment of the Cold War, how did things change?
There was this idea that started in the Cold War that homosexuals were dangerous to national security, that somehow they could get blackmailed for being gay and give away government secrets. And so starting in the 50s, there was a concerted effort to hunt down and drive out gays from the military. And usually the investigators that took this on, they worked in pairs, and they would identify people and bring them into, you know, a small interrogation room, the type of thing you see in a bad old police movie, and just, you know, give them the good cop, bad cop for a couple hours and threaten them. One veteran I talked to, the investigators had gone through his room and gotten his address book, and they essentially told him, look, confess and name names, or we're going to call everybody here in your address book at work and tell them, you know, that you're gay. And what's amazing to me is that that process really, from my interviews, it seems to have stayed unchanged throughout the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even into the 80s, where, you know, I think in civilian life it would have been seen as inappropriate. But in the military, there was still very much an edict to identify gays and get them out.
I'm speaking with Dave Phillips. He's military correspondent for the New York Times, and he wrote about a number of less than honorably discharged service members who were kicked out for being gay. Now, after Don't Ask, Don't Tell, they are looking for benefits and to reinstate their status. 4 years after the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, will they automatically be granted honorable status?
Any veteran who wants to correct their discharge and get an honorable discharge can essentially send a form into Washington and ask that this be done. And unless there's some underlying other misconduct that the Pentagon identifies, the policy is to upgrade, to give these folks their honorable discharge. But there's a lot of red tape that they have to go through, the process of getting old records so that you can show how you were discharged. The process of getting that approved can take easily more than a year. And so there has been an effort to say, hey, look, we as a society should just grant a blanket upgrade to all these people, simplify the process, you know, let them get what was due to them. And that proposal, which is in the form of a bill in Congress, is just stuck right now in essentially Congress being Congress. I think that it's seen as sort of a partisan bargaining chip that's not going anywhere anytime soon.
So the bill would, of course, add a lot of veterans to the roles of those who are already due or hoping to get benefits. Any ideas on how much it would cost to add all of these additional service people to the role of those due veterans benefits?
I don't think the issue has even evolved that far. I think that the people that are coming forward now are a relatively small number compared to what we think is out there. I think that the government hasn't made any sort of estimates about how many might come forward and what it might cost. You know, certainly there is some cost involved in it, but there's probably cost involved in keeping the status quo as well.
So of those that you spoke to, what does this restitution of status mean for them?
With the veterans that I talked to, getting their discharge upgraded was not a matter of trying to get benefits. It was more a matter of trying to regain their sense of decency and respect, to demand to the government and society that had done this to them to acknowledge its mistake and to grant them the courtesy of honor that they had never had before. And that is really what astounded me about this, that someone could carry around shame for decades, you know, a very unpleasant, heavy load of shame, and then be able to put it down and ask for respect, I thought was really a moving thing. And I think that's what's motivating a lot of these guys.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for sharing those stories with us.
Thank you for having me on.
David Phillips, he's a military correspondent for the New York Times, and that's where we found his article, Ousted as Gay, Aging Veterans Are Battling Again for Honorable Discharges. And you'll find a link to read the article for yourself. It's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.